From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. This is April 22nd, 2008, episode 67, the big 6-7. We are two in a row. Can you believe it?
I know, it's amazing.
What is going on? Something horrible is going to happen before this episode is released, and
we're setting a trend, a new trend of excellence.
I don't know if we want to set a trend of excellence. The expectations will be too high.
No.
But it's been a pretty good week. I've been using the Twitter.
Yes.
And shout out to Stu McHugh, who has been twittering it up finally. And I have to say, I'm liking the Twitter. You know, got a few people on there that I'm following, and people following me, and I think that's what makes it good. If you get on there and you only have a couple people, it's going to be boring because there's not going to be anything coming your way. But it's definitely a different feel. I mean, it's not a blog post, it's just short little random thoughts that people throw out there, and that's what makes it fun for me.
Cool.
Pretty good. So some news this week. We have looked at a few things. Ryan, I think you had something interesting to share.
I'm starting with some woohoo news,
some money saving news maybe.
Yes. So back on the 21st, Intel announced super savings price cuts. They're going to save you money on new processors. So the quad-core prices have fallen by 50%. So this follows up on last week's story of the first quarter. They met stock expectations. Mm-hmm. So they're, I guess, being able to make chips super cheap now.
Uh-huh.
And we are now the recipient of that trickle-down awesomeness.
I like it.
I know. It's awesome. So my little single-core 3.2 might soon be getting replaced by a mega-cheap quad-core or dual-core.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example of some of the stuff that's out there now. The Core 2 Quad 2.66 fell from $530 to $266.
Wow.
So that's pretty nice. And you can pick up, see, I may upgrade my 3.2 to a, a nice Core 2 Duo 2.8 around $163.
So does this mean that they make stupid amounts of money, or does this mean that they're taking a loss now?
Well, because they're leading.
Yeah.
And they're leading AMD, obviously.
Right.
So they don't need to be a loss leader.
Right.
So I think they're just making so much money. And because sales are so soft, they can cut prices in half, pump up sales for people like me who are like, it's too expensive to upgrade.
Right.
So they must really be doing good to make this move.
I wonder how much of this is being affected by the move to laptops. So I see more and more people buying a laptop. Like, my parents just got a new laptop to kind of replace their desktop this week.
Mm-hmm.
You don't upgrade a laptop chip.
Right.
Do you think that's affecting it at all, or do you think it's just, you know, the economy's slow and people just aren't buying?
Well, they announced new chip stuff at some of the big conferences earlier in the spring. So maybe they're just kind of doing
dumping
the stock.
It's just a huge cut.
That is.
It's big. That's unheard of.
Maybe they're just trying to put the nails in the coffin for AMD stuff.
At least unheard of by me.
Right. Or maybe they're trying to get people to spend their processor money now.
Right.
So that if AMD comes out with something to try to recover, then they won't have those dollars.
Could be that, yeah.
Kind of a preemptive strike.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they're the low end and the high end, there is no room for competition.
All right.
Which makes me sad, but we've talked about that before.
So anyway, time to go shopping.
So speaking of saving money, Macs are expensive, right?
Yeah.
We both know that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, dollar for speed, they're on par with PCs, but there is no low-end PC or Mac. But one company is trying to change that, maybe. There's this company, and there's been, you may have already heard this if you follow any of the major blogs, but I just thought I would bring this up. A company called, I think it's Systar, it's PSYSTAR. It's cloning Macs using what is it called? It's like OS X 86 that is out there that lets you run OS 10 on an Intel machine, an Intel PC. And they're basically selling those for like $300 or $400. Which is already going to be a problem.
Right.
But Apparently a bunch of people have bought these, right?
Right.
And some of the blogs have been like kind of tracking down the company because they kind of disappeared for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped taking orders. And apparently, like, their credit card company dropped them, and they've changed their address on their website 3 or 4 times, and somebody tracked down the current address, and it was a different company. But supposedly, people are actually getting, you know, tracking numbers for these things now. Mm-hmm. So in the last week, it went from, like, this company's a hoax to maybe not.
So they just need to get that .ru website address.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know if this is, you know, Apple laying down the law and trying to put them out of business, or if it's just a shady business. But to me, we've beat this drum so many times, but I wish Apple would release this machine right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, under $1,000, a desktop that you can upgrade. But, yeah. I don't know. It's
Wherever demand is not met legally, it will be met illegally.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's why BitTorrent is popular and P2P.
I haven't P2P'd a single piece of music since iTunes Store
mm-hmm.
became easy.
Yep.
So that's that.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I'm the same way. I definitely use Napster for a couple years, and I buy all my music now. And it's not because I'm independently wealthy, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, so. Because we're just admins.
That's right. And speaking of failure, remember we talked about the acceptance of the Office XML standard?
Right. We talked about that last week.
Yeah. How, you know, I wonder if Microsoft's going to keep up and make the changes required to their own standard, to their own software, to meet their own standard that they wanted. Office 2007 fails to comply with the standard with 122,000 errors.
Well,
and it just was ratified.
Well, is it 122,000 UAC pop-ups? I don't know.
It's just, it doesn't work.
What can you say?
So, I mean, I guess we expected this, you know, but it makes me sad. I had just a glimmer of hope, and I should have just learned my lesson.
Well, the standard's out of their hands now, so now they'll have to start working
right
backwards. So those are probably all features or extra things.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, this, I guess maybe those, the standard has changed from what they submitted to what got approved.
And so you're talking all of Office, right? So we're talking all of Word, Outlook, well, Excel.
But I think the...
it only the Word
I think doc? It's only the Word docs that this applies to.
Wow, that sucks. So anyway.
Yeah. And then they're doing something else. Apparently, so the MSN Music Store, which is pre-Zune. This is when they were trying to do their own thing before the Zune came out.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, August 31st, 2008, say goodbye to transferring those songs to any other computer. Because they're shutting off the servers that allow you to use that license. So your current songs will play.
Mm-hmm.
So all 6 of you who bought MSN Music, sorry about that.
Wow. So
I think I would feel justified at that point in firing up P2P and getting those songs.
Yeah.
Because you already paid for them once.
And then it got taken away.
Yeah.
But see, this is what the recording industry wants. They want you to buy the right to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own it.
Right. Exactly. You know? It's you have the right, or in their mind, privilege
mm-hmm.
of listening to it in that format only.
See, if they have their way, and if they had a clue, one day they would eventually stream everything on demand.
Right.
You know, everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So that you would never have any kind of copy of the media at all.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they are moving. I mean, you're seeing all these companies moving to MP3 or non-DRM format. So I think the music industry has kind of started to get that they're going to go out of business if they don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie and TV industry hasn't quite caught up to that yet, unfortunately.
Right. So did you hear about the Yahoo first quarter earnings reports?
I did not.
Okay, so the numbers are out, and they have done very well. And this, of course, is vis-a-vis the offer from Microsoft to buy Yahoo.
Right.
So, you know, Yahoo's like, yay, we're doing awesome. And we're like so far ahead of what we thought. And we're 14% over first quarter 07. And we're really doing great. And we love the internet and everyone loves us.
Mm.
And we're like the portal where people log in and we're the first thing they see. And we're going to expand on that and blah, blah, blah. And and so Steve Ballmer at Microsoft came right back after this same day and said, well, this doesn't affect our bid. So it doesn't matter how well they're doing. Our bid to buy them is our bid.
Yeah.
And which actually it kind of does make the good point of the stock price is not the stock price of Yahoo does not reflect any longer Yahoo's performance.
Yeah.
It reflects whether or not people think Microsoft is going to buy
Yahoo.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's so true.
I don't know. But Yahoo is just doing better and better. And it's going to be harder and harder for Microsoft to sell. I don't know. I guess if Yahoo does well enough, Microsoft will be able to go back to the shareholders and say, well, look how powerful they are now. You know, this is worth more, so we want to spend more to get them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they don't want to go back and ask that question. They want to just let the current bid stand.
Right.
But, you know, the better they do, they're just going to be emboldened. Like some Yahoo terrorists. I don't know.
So yeah, anyway. I don't want Microsoft to buy Yahoo because that means Microsoft will own Flickr, and I don't want them to own Flickr.
Right.
Because then I'll have to find something else.
That will I don't want sad. I don't want anything to happen in the universe that makes Steve Ballmer happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he still wouldn't be happy. He'd just be a big sweaty ape running around on stage.
Jumping around.
Oh, hey, did you hear? 2010, the internet will be clogged completely.
The tubes?
The tubes will be clogged in 2010.
What with?
According to AT&T.
Okay.
AT&T is saying by 2010, so that's not very far from now,
mm-mm,
they're saying that 20 typical households will generate more traffic than the entire internet today.
Okay, keep laying this on me.
They're basing this on the fact of, you know, video on demand and P2P is continuing to grow, and apparently they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm.
Ours has a good analysis of this, and they've talked to several internet traffic experts, and basically AT&T is trying to scare people off because they don't want to spend money on their last mile, and that's where the problem is.
Right.
The problem is in from the big pipes through AT&T's network to the houses. And because AT&T's spending billions changing their name three times,
mm-hmm,
they don't have any money to make my internet faster.
So actually, that by not going the last mile, by not giving us fiber to the curb,
right,
they're actually protecting the internet.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because we are irresponsible users that can't control ourselves.
I think this is the first time I've been happy to be a part of Comcast.
Well, I've never been
because
happy.
All the Ubers and AT&T folks, they'll just be clogged, and you know they'll have to call on the internet plumber,
right,
to clear the tubes.
Right. Well, so the P2P thing, I don't like bandwidth throttling, and I don't like traffic shaping, but it can be done.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
If they wanted to, they could do all this.
Yeah.
And really, so here's the big secret that no one talks about. So P2P, a lot of it happens at night.
Right.
When you're not trying to surf and when you're not trying to... Because, you know, John Smith, you know, 19-year-old video gamer, he doesn't want his World of Warcraft to run laggy. So he turns down his P2P from 5 o'clock to 1 a.m. when he's playing, you know, when other people are trying to use the internet. Mm-hmm. And then when he goes to bed, he ramps it back up.
Yep.
Or at least that's what I used to do.
Well, basically, this is just AT&T whining because they realize that Verizon is way ahead of them with Fios. Mm. And, They're using fiber to the node, which is what UVerse uses, instead of fiber to the house or to the curb.
Right.
And they just aren't spending money on their last mile. They're spending it on everything else. So
P2P can save corporations so much money on bandwidth by letting people use bandwidth, distributed bandwidth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that they don't have to host every single file. They just need to handle their licensing, and they need to try to harness the power of P2P instead of trying to fight it, because you're not going to beat it.
Yeah. Yeah, this sounds like, you know, the RIA saying, in 2010, no one's going to buy any CDs. They're going to steal it all. So we got to fix it. We got to crack down on these crazy people.
They are.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know.
Whatever, AT&T. You're just mad because you're a phone company. Be glad you got the
iPhone. They don't even know what... Yeah, seriously. They don't even know what they are. That's why they keep changing their logo.
Mm.
They don't know
what the Death Star.
Yeah. It does look like a Death Star.
So what was this on this Google Maps thing?
So Google Maps, you know, they keep incrementing it, right? Mm-hmm. And Google Earth has had a bunch of updates recently, and I guess Google Maps was feeling sad, and so they added a feature. They predict traffic conditions for your travel time. So you input when you're going to be traveling, day and time, and as you get your directions, and they will tell you what the traffic will be like. And they're basing this on, you know, the history of traffic conditions that they have, because, you know, you can view the current traffic. So they've been caching that data and analyzing it. And now they use that data to do something useful for you.
So they know on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, if you're going down a certain street, that's going to be...
Right,
so.
Most likely it will be terrible.
Wow, that's pretty useful.
Pretty nice, yeah.
Yeah, I like that they're rolling in traffic, they're rolling in weather, they're doing it historical, they're doing real time.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like it.
Pretty cool. So you want to talk about the toolbox?
Let us talk about the toolbox.
So this is, I've been kind of slowly searching for a way to easily remote in to someone else's machine, like my parents or a friend, and do that without spending any money, and be able to do that Mac to PC or PC to Mac or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found one. It is called Log Me In, and you go to the website logmein.com. And you install this app, and it will let you control whatever machine it's installed on from another machine through the browser. So you'll have to install a plugin to your browser.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially what you do is you set up an account, and you register machines with that account so that when you go to the LogMeIn website, you log in with your username and password, and you'll see those machines and if they're online or not based on, you know. So we tried this out before the show, and it worked pretty well. We actually were able to get through some heavy-duty firewalls with it. So it's effective through routers and NAT and all that mess that's usually a problem for things like VNC and mm-hmm. remote desktop. It was a little slow, right?
Right.
But not too bad.
We even went through VPN.
Yeah, that's right. I VPN'd in to work, and then connected with Ryan's laptop to my VPN'd machine, and it was choppy, but you know, you can change the bit depth and the resolution and that kind of thing to help speed it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool about it is, for one, it's encrypted. It's 256-bit AES encryption, which VNC is not encrypted, so that's a bonus. It's free, so that's good. But it lets you set preferences for each machine that you can kind of save, you know, like, do you want to copy the clipboard or that kind of thing? The free one does not let you copy and paste files mm-hmm. between. You'll have to figure out your own way to do that, which if you're listening to this, you better know how to do that already.
And I think it doesn't let you hear the sounds, like the email notifications.
Right,
and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So you know, the free one you're not going to use necessarily to... At least I wouldn't use it to connect to a home machine and, you know, use that machine. I would use this more to repair someone else's computer quickly. But pretty impressive for a free app. That seems like their game is, you know, get people used to this cool app and then get them to buy it for their corporation or that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm going to my parents next weekend, so you can believe I'm going to try to install this there and see if I can remotely start fixing some of their issues.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't have a lot of time on this. I just installed it this week and tried it out once, and then we tried it out here. So feel free to give it a try and give us some feedback on your experiences. But so far, I've been pretty impressed. It seems to use the method of both computers connect to a server, and then that server gives a handshake and passes it off. But very cool app, easy to use once you get it set up, and I have to say I recommend it. We'll probably check back in with this app in a week or two and let you guys know after a couple weeks of use if we still like it. Well, that is the show for this week. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Seems like we're still getting a pretty regular number of listeners, and so I appreciate all you folks, the silent majority that is out there listening, and we have fun doing it, so we hope you guys enjoy listening. As always, feedback at angryadmins.com if you have any questions, comments, you know, want to tell us how much you hate us and you only listen to make fun of us, go for it. Send it to us, let us know how you feel, and feel free to post any comments in the show notes that we have on angryadmins.com. If you want to follow up on any of those stories, that's where the links for those will be. So until next week, I'm Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry.